And now, get ready, folks. It's time for Banter with Bob Sherwood and Dan Snell. Banter. And now, here's Bob and Dan.
Hey, guys and gals, it's Tuesday, and the market has gone up again today a little bit. And the news just keeps coming on. The latest news is what, Dan? What's the latest?
Well, it's too much news. Have you and I ever made a mistake in serious in business? Yes. Pentagon officials, that they were planning the attack on the Houthis in Yemen.
Yeah.
They used a app on their phone, which is supposed to be reasonably safe, called Signal. And inadvertently, and I'm sure it was Mike Waltz's assistant, he himself probably didn't initiate this, but he sent out invites because we need to have this little group chat about what we're going to do to the Houthis in Yemen and when. So that went out, invite somehow. A guy named Goldberg, who was the editor of The Atlantic, which is not a Trump fan. They're not conservative at all, very liberal magazine. Yeah, but they got a hold of it. The guy didn't do anything, say anything. And the next thing you know, he gets all these texts about talking about. Now, the bad thing is they talked about Europe. They talked about Trump. They talked about, should we do this bombing? The good thing is, I think it was right. The military action was right, and it shows Trump means business. That's a positive. The bad thing is inadvertently an accident, and I call it that, an accident. They somehow, this Atlantic guy was on there, but Vance was on it. Hegseth was on it. Waltz, Tulsi Gabbard, a number of people, and they all made comments. The key of making the news is that what you and I always talk about is the Trump administration how they respond to things, because you can always talk about, I'm about done here, I know I've had too much coffee. It's how you respond to things, not how you react. And they've been reacting with, Goldberg's a loser, he's fake news, Russia, Russia, Russia. They go back to spinning up that it's bad, the media. The mistake was made, honest mistake. They should own it, claim it. And the reason that the news keeps spinning it is 2 hours later, Trump yesterday said, I don't know anything about it. Come on. Remember yesterday we talked about Carolyn Leavitt, and we've talked about Stephen Miller. They're supposed to make sure and protect the president. 2 hours after the news hit the streets, Trump doesn't know about it. And he says, huh? And then he attacks the Atlantic. Anyway, bottom line is the news is there was a potential breach of confidential information.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me, and usually it happens when I go into my two area of my client side email, and there's two or three names that are about the same, like, yes, Goldberg, Goldstein, and then I click on the wrong one, and you can't take it back after that, unfortunately, right?
Yes.
But probably Signal is working on that right now. They're probably working on some way you can send a message out to delete the email, where the email is deleted automatically. So I'm kind of curious about that company, because it's an app that was designed by, well, the app itself is under a nonprofit legal entity.
Ah, look at this. It, as always, Mr. Technology Researcher knows the stuff.
The development of the app is under a for-profit LLC. So in other words, the for-profit LLC lists the nonprofit as the parent. Now, the interesting thing to me is that who is the developer of the actual code, the actual Signal code? And it turns out it's one of the developers that developed WhatsApp.
Breaking news right here. No, I've not heard that anywhere. There's a lot of questions on WhatsApp.
All you have to do is Google Signal, and you'll come up with all the information. They list this, the not-for-profit and the they list the LLC. The LLC develops the software, and the LLC has sales, like $35, $40 million. So we don't know where that money's coming from. So the not-for-profit may give it away for free, but the app somehow charges somebody for using it. So I don't know how that works, but it's pretty clear. It's all on Wikipedia. It's pretty open. The only connection that I got was that one of the developers, one of the owners of the LLC, has about 30 employees, is the WhatsApp developer. Now, WhatsApp has a checkered career, right?
Yes. Yeah, there's lots of people. There's always scammers on WhatsApp.
Yeah, so there you go. But no problem. I mean, they made a mistake. It'll be corrected. And that's about it, right?
Yeah.
So again, what else is going on? Go ahead.
We talked about the Democrats kind of have lost their way. They need to find a leader. You know, if I were advising them, it's very woesome, not winsome, for them to just attack and call for heads and heads to roll. And hey, do you have to? And unfortunately, there was already a scheduled hearing about national security. So can you imagine Tulsi Gabbard and them, they have to be before Congress today anyway? Do you think they're going to talk about anything else? But just doesn't, you know, it doesn't serve America to just stir up problems. Was it a mistake? Yeah, it's good that it happened early in the administration, so they'll go, hey, we can't let that happen again. But the key, you know, really disappointed Pete Hegseth, had higher hopes for him. He got off the plane in Hawaii. Now, it's a long flight. You know, he's probably flown from Washington. So how many hours is that, 11 hours? So he's probably tired, got a little jet lag perhaps, gets off the plane. They ask him about it, and he immediately attacks Goldberg, says, you know, fake news, Russia, 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 that guy's a loser, going out of business, like Trump said. That does not the way he should simply say, hey, I got to look into this. Obviously, we made a mistake. It wasn't intended. And I'm glad that we. And then he went on to say how successful they were with the attacks on the Houthis.
Who was the initiator of the email? Do you know?
Well, Waltz, and I'm sure it was Waltz's assistant. Mike Waltz is not getting on his phone saying, let me see my Signal app. And blah, blah, blah. He probably had an assistant say, hey, open up a group. A principal, right. They call it the principal group. Open up, guys, because I want to have a private conversation on Signal talking about this, what we're going to do with Yemen and the Houthis. And so he probably had an assistant. And like you said, which is my first thought, how many times have you accidentally in a group attached somebody whose last name is similar?
It happened to me. Of course, I don't have any confidential secret information, but I have had information that was – I was working on like a case, for example, right?
Yeah.
I was putting together, and I noticed it went to the wrong person. And that person was a pretty heads up person. I just said, hey, look, I've made a mistake. Send it to you. Please delete it. And they said, okay, and deleted it, right? They didn't call a press conference and accuse me of leaking information. But so it does happen. And I think it happens probably easier than most people think. And you probably right. Send by a kind of like a staffer that made that mistake. And she has probably an email list of like 1,000 people. And she went to the two column. And I'm kind of surprised it didn't happen more often. But I think the other thing that's probably going to happen here, Signal is probably going to be out the door. Or they're going to have to develop a, what I'll call an error message, right?
A double check.
Well, they could go to two-factor authentication. So once a group is identified, right?
Very good. So, that's why people should listen to Banter. Stuff that you use, the stuff you know. That's right.
Go back to the group manager who would look at it and say, yeah. So, that, you know, two-factor authentication takes a little longer, but I think you could do it one time for your group. So once your group is specifically identified, then you can, you know, leave it alone. But the other thing is this, and this is the other point. Most of those group things have a lock, which means nobody else can add somebody to the group, but some of them don't. Now, we don't know if what happened is they sent it out to people, and somebody else added it to the group after it was sent, as opposed to before it was sent.
I think it gives you a message that says, if that happens, you have to start a new group and inform everybody you're starting. I don't know for sure. You know who would know? We got to have as a guest a man who has been in internet and cybersecurity.
You missed my point, right? My point is that it could happen two ways. If your group is not locked, and I'm a member of your group and it's not locked, then I can add somebody to that group. That's what I'm suggesting.
Yeah,
I'm
I know. That's what you meant. I know. That's why
to
I said
put a lock on the Signal app.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So nobody else can add somebody. That plus two-factor authentication, and they'll be in good shape.
Yeah. You know, for Signal, at least short term, how many people have Googled Signal or gone to the App Store or the Google Store and downloaded Signal? But, you know, we should have as a guest is our mutual friend who's very knowledgeable. He's got, you know, U.S.
Yeah.
Air Force Academy grad, now in technology, serving the government, cybersecurity, Mike Traw. We're going to have him on and talk about this because he's obviously very interested in this. I think maybe we should do that even, maybe we can get him on later today or tomorrow.
Well,
so anyway, okay, what else is happening?
Well, while we're talking about, just send him a text right now and ask him to come on for a few minutes.
Just oh, well, we probably would want to give him a heads up.
We don't know. We don't know. Just say, hey, will you come on for a few minutes and talk about Signal? Either can
Do
or
you
can.
Want to come on a banter podcast right now, live on Zoom, and talk about security and how
No,
they
talk
could have
about
prevented
Signal.
the signal?
Yeah, there you go. Just send that, right?
Okay. You'd be live.
Right. Okay, so now let's get going here. What else we've got on our, now let me go back to our special segment.
Yes.
Our new segment on Housewives of Beverly Hills. Now, it turns out that Lady Gaga in about 2014 or 15, 16, sometime when Beverly Hills Housewives was starting, wrote a song called G-Y-U.
G-Y-U or G-U-Y?
G-U-Y. That's right. G-U-Y. Guy. And that this song had, let's call it embedded meanings, right?
Ah.
And so it turns out that the housewives of Beverly Hills, they're speaking things from a women's point of view, right? And there's a thematic message to what they're talking about, right? And the kind of like some of the background on that song is that, according to Lady Gaga, now, according to what she says herself, the letters stand for girl under you. And
is that naughty? Is that naughty or is that male chauvinist?
Okay, so it stands, according to her, now there's other definitions, but according to her, it stands for girl under you, and it has to do with the fact of women having power.
Oh.
Right?
It doesn't sound like it.
And the idea is that girl under you might be a person giving themselves to somebody else, but not giving up power.
So you are talking naughty.
No, I'm not talking naughty. I'm saying what Lady Gaga said. I'm not
okay.
talking anything. Right?
The song is a girl giving herself.
Yeah, girl under you. And the idea that, you know, the girl is under you, but the idea is that she's not giving up any power. She's getting power because of that.
She's seizing the moment. She's seizing the moment and having the power.
That may be more than people want to read into this, but the more you research the background of the show and the purpose of the show and the theme of the show. Now, they've had as many as 2 million viewers. They've got about 1.3 million viewers now, which I think is pretty good. I don't know what that translates into income, but it's probably, you know, probably pretty good money for a television show. Plus, the nice thing about their viewers from an advertising perspective is the demographic. We know they're women generally.
Uh-huh.
According to what I understand, it's women between the ages of 25 and 45, and women that spend money and they're watching fashion.
Yeah.
So if I'm a woman and I see some of the women on Beverly Hills buying a certain kind of purse and I can afford it, I'm going to go buy it. I'm going to see the show for fashion as well as ideas. Let me give you an example. Now, you know, I always characterize myself as a semi-retired technology executive from Silicon Valley.
Yes, that you
Over
are.
the weekend, I was at a store in town center. This is a big store. I mean, the store, it might be 10,000 square feet.
Ah, okay,
It
the
is
warehouse
lined.
type
There
store.
is thousands of lipsticks and chapsticks and different colors. I mean, there must be 20,000 shades of red. And these little lipsticks, I mean, there's you they're just in glass cases. And then there was dozens of women buying them. Now, I thought these lipsticks probably cost about $3 or $4. Crazy.
Oh,
Cost about
wrong,
$50.
wrong stocking cap man.
So I started thinking about it. I'm in the wrong business. These little lipsticks thing can't cost more than a dime to make, right? And they're selling here at $50. And I mean, the women were everywhere buying these things, trying them on, going across their lips, looking in a mirror, wiping it off, trying another one on. It was incredible. And and I'm thinking that the profit margin per square foot has got to be higher than a diamond store, right? Because, a tray of those lipsticks probably have, I don't know, 100 different lipsticks in it. They occupy an area about one square foot. So that's like $5,000 per square foot right there. That's incredible. I
Good
said,
calculation.
I would open up one of these stores, right?
Yeah, it is remarkable because it's basically like you said, it's probably going through the it's like a spray thing. Psh, psh. It fills up the little container that the
Yeah.
lipstick is in, puts a little I mean, I went I you know little you know I dress up sometimes when I speak as William
Woman.
Wallace of Braveheart, so I have to put some stuff on, and I go and I get some of the purple shade. It's
Yeah.
like 20, 30 bucks. It's
There you go, right? See, we're
like
not stupid,
ridiculous
right?
just to color my face like
Yeah.
William Wallace of Braveheart.
So they open up one drawer. I don't know. It must have been, well, I could maybe 1,000 different shades of red. For to
Where do they
me,
get the names for these? Who sits around and thinks up the names for these, Rick?
no, but I'm just thinking to myself, they're all the same color for me, but I see women taking one out and say, no, that's not the right shade of red. No, well, no, this is not the right shade of red. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, they're all look the same.
Now let's just take a moment here. Let's take a time out. And Bob, if you're willing to share, because I'll share.
I'll
What is
share.
your favorite color of lipstick on your wife, Helen? Or I'll go first. My favorite color of a lipstick is kind of a pinkish color. I think that's a very
Yeah.
attractive pinkish. How about you?
I don't prefer any makeup at all.
No makeup at all.
No makeup. I just
Because your
want
bride is
to look.
beautiful. Helen is just as she is. That's right. Yeah.
I don't know why anybody would want to make up anyway. I can understand it at some theoretical level, but your face looks pretty good for most people. And now I can understand chapstick. Put chapstick on your lips. A lot of women that I ask, I say to use lipstick like a chapstick.
Yeah.
They're looking
So
good.
when you got shameless plug for you and your great history, when you got Entrepreneur of the Year, when you were named Entrepreneur of the Year and went to your national
I didn't
award,
wear any lipstick, right?
you didn't wear, but did Helen wear, you think she wore
I
any
never, yeah, she wears lipstick. I'd say light colored.
light?
The only one that I know that the only person I know that stands out is when I see pictures of Taylor Swift. She wears bright red lipstick. That's her kind of like.
Taylor Swift, who lives, ladies and gentlemen, without acknowledging too much, within like a half a mile of you, maybe a mile.
Well, let's see. Yes, she might be there when she's not on one of her islands, on one
Yeah.
of her three jets, on one of her half a dozen different homes.
Yeah.
So I don't know where she lives. Does she have a home near me? I don't know.
Which
Does what's his
Travis
name?
Kelce has a
Walter,
home.
correct?
Travis Kelce has a home near
Yeah,
you.
and he's putting in a new basement. But yeah, they never call me or talk to me, so I don't know what they're up to.
But once in a while, you see them at, you can see them at the store. So do you think by now, so we've talked about women's makeup,
Right.
Beverly Hills TV show, we've talked
Right.
lipstick. Do you think we've offended the majority of any female listeners to banter, which by the
Probably,
way,
because we don't know when we offend them.
yeah,
That's the
because we're old, kind of old school. We don't
Oh,
meet
yeah.
our hearts are not to offend them, but sometimes in society today, culture,
no way do we, how can we tell if we offend them? Because we don't know what's offensive. I just learned the other day that the term Oriental is offensive.
Instead of Asian.
Asian was offensive.
Well, folks, you know, you can write us if anything we've said, we want to know, because you're going to share this with a lot of people. You're going to, on the YouTube, you're going to comment below and you're going to share this and say, listen to these guys, those two guys. And then you can comment by sending webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. Webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. You can let us know after you like, subscribe.
So, I kind of agree with you on Hegseth getting off the plane and getting into this guy's, you know, nobody, blah, 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 the Goldberg guy. I agree with you on that. I kind of suspicion that maybe he didn't have the whole story. He was on the plane, maybe didn't hear the whole story. So he started attacking before he realized that, you know, he may have been part of the mistake, you know, for Oprah.
Yeah, I think that's what happens, is they react rather than they research and respond.
Yeah, you know, and I kind of forgive them for that, because they're getting, you know, every time they move, somebody's asking them a question. And in some respects, they're almost better off, what I call, this is kind of like a vernacular, but staying in their own lane. You know, what I mean is stay within the knowledge that they have. And when people move them outside that knowledge, either say they don't know or refer the person to somebody else, right?
Right.
That's a safe way. He could have just said, you know, I haven't researched that yet. You know, we'll give you a report later and moved on, right? But you're right. Once he replies, now we have what I call the, it's like the weaponry where you shoot a missile, I shoot a missile, then I shoot two missiles, and then you shoot two missiles. And pretty soon we get 100 missiles in the air, and none of us remember how it got started.
That's a great analogy right there. That's right.
Goldberg then defends himself. And the guy from the Atlantic, whoever he is, he probably loves it.
I know. He's good because it's getting his magazine attention. Yeah. Right. You know, it'll come out. Obviously, this is a continuing story. But one of the things that your pal, Caroline Leavitt, press secretary, Young, she issued a press release that said there was no military action or what was done or confidential in the thing.
Yeah.
Now, the reason she's basing that and responding on what the guy from the Atlantic shared, but what's going to come out, I believe, you know, I don't know for sure, but according to him, the latest thing is, hey, there was a lot of details about what kind of missiles, what kind of ships. Excuse me. Right. When, so there was details, and Hegseth also said there was no details from a military.
Yeah.
So that's going to exactly what you said. More missiles are being fired at each other, and it's going to stir it up.
It becomes kind of a play on words, because the issue becomes, you know, what in fact is confidential? What if leaked? Whatever it was leaked. Did that really help anybody to defend themselves against the missiles? In other words, if it was only leaked to Goldberg and Goldberg didn't tell the Houthis about it, then it's kind of a non-sequitur, right?
Right.
So that's kind of what they mean, I think, when they say, well, it wasn't confidential. What they're really saying is that this information, even having been known by the enemy, wouldn't have helped them. And that's a nuance. It's what I call a nuanced argument. It could be absolutely correct, right? And my guess is that if I told you I'm sending a missile over there at 12 o'clock to bomb some city over there, there's probably nothing you can do.
Yeah.
The missile's coming, you know? So, you know, in a way, in the old days, now when we used to send missiles over, we would let people know if there were civilians, we'd say, we're going to send a missile over to blah, blah, blah at this, you know, GPS coordinate. And if you're civilians, get out of the way, but the missile's coming.
Yeah.
And then we'd launch the missile. So
that's
the,
right.
Planes have got, you know, 24 hours to vacate the building or something. Right. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's good news. To me, of course, the best thing that's happening is we're really kind of like taking charge of this group of people that are destroying other people's property. Exactly. I'm not necessarily an Elon Musk fan. I like Elon a lot, but the point to me is that who are these crazies that say, oh, we'll just destroy other people's property and get away with it? I hope they get every one of them and put them in jail. If you burn a car, that you should be in jail for that. You're a felon.
Well, I see that Kash Patel, the director of the FBI, he is I think 40 individuals are specifically tasked across the country for tracking down these people and working with law enforcement. So that'll be interesting. Now, you know this because we've ridden together. I think that was maybe our first time when we rode in that truck, Cybertruck, that there is a sentry mode and it has cameras on all sides. You can put it in sentry mode and it films everything that's going on around the truck.
Since you brought up Tesla, people ask about why Tesla stock is going up. And as you know, Tesla keeps pushing self-driving automobiles. And they have approval. They have, again, I'm not sure exactly how this works, but they've got some approval to start in California. Now they have some other bridges they have to cross, but they've got one approval. And they just got full approval in China. So their stock is moving up because in China they've got approval to do fully self-driving automobiles. But I'm
Now
going to
you
come back to one more point before I leave it, that if you're researching or listening into this, be sure you research BYD. That's the other Chinese company that is doing very well, like Tesla, and in fact building more vehicles than Tesla. But remember, people don't know about BYD because they are a manufacturer. If you're a
And
BMW or you're Audi or something like that, you'd go to BYD and say, hey, build me an EV.
you mentioned that yesterday because you commented on the Oracle of Omaha, the great Nebraska, go Big Red, love Nebraska, hometown, David City, Nebraska plug. Warren Buffett is investing in BYU.
And the next biggest thing on my mind is the TikTok. Now, TikTok, I believe, is
It's
April.
March.
No, it's April, isn't it?
No,
I
it's
thought
March
it was pushed out
still.
till April. Well, I thought it was pushed off till April.
Oh, yeah. Well, they keep pushing it off. Now, what's going to happen? Remember, that's just,
I
there's
don't
so
know.
many things that happens in Trump's orbit that you just, things just keep flying off the table, and we don't have him back on the table because he's flying. He just throws stuff out there, and then you got the table full. Well, let's knock it off the table.
Well, we'll see what happens in TikTok. I'm a big believer that Oracle is going to come on top, come out on top of this whole TikTok argument. Musk may be involved somehow, or maybe one of his pals. One of his, they have a thing called the PayPal Mafia. Have you ever heard of it?
No, this is breaking news, top secret stuff you're sharing here. Wait, let's get signal. We better do this through signal then.
Now, the PayPal Mafia is basically a group of people that made billions of dollars off of PayPal. In fact, one of the people that were in the PayPal Mafia, I think I have this right because that's all from memory, is now the president of Netflix. So once they sold PayPal and made billions for those guys, right? They all went their separate ways. Now they're into various other companies. Peter Thiel, the guy that we always talk about as being the funder of the vice president's campaign, he was one of the PayPal founders. He was one of the PayPal Mafia.
Ah, Peter Thiel. Now that is
Now you know Peter Thiel. He's the guy that funded our vice
Lance.
president's Vance's, right? And he also funded he put Vance in the venture capital business.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist ever, but did you ever see the movie The Manchurian Candidate? It's been
I don't
spoke
see
of
the
that.
analogy, but the answer is I saw both movies,
Yes, both
the
movies.
original and the remake.
That Vance could be the Manchurian candidate. I better not say that because somebody will investigate. I'll have drones outside looking at me.
There's a dark theory that's actually was posted on LinkedIn yesterday by a person who posted that the PayPal Mafia, and I don't mean that in a negative term, that's a term that this author used on LinkedIn, published this on LinkedIn, and he listed all the people that are members, and he said their whole goal is to eventually kick out the entire government, get rid of the entire government, and run it like a corporation. And
Wow.
have every department of the government run by a tech guy.
Wow.
That's the dark
That's a
theory.
movie. That's a book. You know, folks, Bob has written, well, more than four, but published four novels that are spectacular in technology, 14 other books. There's a book for you, Bob, right there.
Well, it's a story, and here's what amazed me, though. Why does LinkedIn let something like that get posted? I mean, he posted it as if he had researched it. There was scientific evidence for it. There were people supporting it. He posted it as fact. Now, there were some facts in there because he listed the founders of PayPal. That's factual, right? He
Yeah.
listed where they are now. They're in other jobs, right? And they're all in, excuse me, in key jobs. But then he leaped forward and said, "Oh, but they're all getting together, to conspire against the United States and basically get rid of government completely and have it run like a corporation." Anyway, so I don't know if anybody's kind of goes to LinkedIn, but if you go to LinkedIn,
Interesting.
watch for this guy. Obviously, he has a name that's hard to pronounce. It's not John Doe, Bob Jones, or Robert Smith. It's something else.
Okay.
I'm not making any comments, but I look at names that have multiple syllables, right? And lots
Well,
of consonants.
and so, you know, under since Trump got in office, the whole fact checking, verifying whether it was on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, that's all gone out the door. We're not going to do that anymore. So that's when you said, so that's, you know, and Microsoft owns LinkedIn. So maybe Bill Gates is, he wants to make money on his mini nuclear plants from the United States and the power grid. So maybe there's fear, you know, the Trump hand, or I won't say bully, but the Trump style is to keep pressure on people or fear, like the law firms that he's attacking now.
Well, yeah. But let me go back to LinkedIn for a second because I think the LinkedIn post that this person made is part of LinkedIn's overall strategy to convert themselves from simply a place where you go to look for a job or, talk to a news gathering agency. Now, if you notice now on your LinkedIn, you'll have a section called LinkedIn News. See, I think they would like this become a news gathering reporting agency so they can charge more money for advertising.
Sure.
Otherwise, their model is almost old. What I mean is look for a job, go to LinkedIn, blah, blah, blah. And by the way, you were consulted the other day on somebody looking for a job. What kind of advice did you give that guy?
My advice was to take the local job with an office because we talked about what kind of. I ask him questions and he likes the camaraderie. The very fact that we just met recently and we had, you know, new friendship technology. We shared technology. We shared past, you know, relationships. A lot of things with, and we lived here in the same place. We had a lot of things in common, and it was the camaraderie. I said, well, if you like camaraderie of those three companies you're looking at, the one is local and it did pay a little. Couple thousand more annually than the other one. So I said, hey, more money and camaraderie and bigger, I'd go that way. So to me, I'm a relationship person and I've always was more productive when I was in a group.
Yeah, when you could go to the water cooler and talk for 30 minutes about what's going on.
Well, yeah, or you just look up, you know, it used to be you'd have an office and then you just had a cubicle, right? And then you just stood up. I'm 6'4". I could just stand up and look over the cubicle. But
All right.
anyway.
That was a good gig for you. Maybe that's one of your gig-itis things you could do. If somebody's looking for a job and you've got multiple offers and you want an independent reviewer of the job offers, then contact Dan Snell. I really think that's a good thing that you did because a person that's looking at job offers needs an independent observer, not their wife, not their husband, right? Not a cousin, but a
Yeah.
total independent
Third
analysis
party.
of the job, right?
Third party
And
eyes
not
and
only a
ears.
job offer, but what you did, I thought was special because you connected the offer with the personality of the candidate.
Which we may have just created because of your great background in analysis and assessment of personalities, the software. What's the website they can go to take the...
Well, that's adenomap.com. But what I'm really saying is that maybe there's another like gig for you or gig in general for people that's not helping somebody find a job, because everybody knows how difficult that is. But once you have job offers, helping them evaluate the job offers.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's difficult because you've got defined benefit programs, you got matching programs, you got health programs, you got the money, you got the ability. You know, there's probably 25 different variables that you would look at in accepting one job offer over another.
Yeah, and sometimes it's an emotional decision rather than like a third party looking at it as, okay, do you want to make that leap?
Yeah, it should be, when I used to do it, it was always with an Excel spreadsheet. Pros and cons, right?
Here's began, the original Excel spreadsheet was Benjamin Franklin, right? Wasn't it? Where he drew the line down the middle of the page and these are the positives and the negatives, the Benjamin Franklin T thing.
I didn't know he ever did that. But
yeah, I think he's the father of that.
I don't think he used Excel for that, though.
I don't. He was the original Excel spreadsheet pros and cons. That's what I'm trying to say.
But the concept of pros and cons is a good strategy, right?
Yeah.
So what do we got? I mean, we've got the sports world. We have the financial area. I mean, we don't hear much about inflation anymore. I hear something about it. I have an issue on inflation. And, you know, I researched some more on inflation the other day and looked at the various algorithms that are used for the CPI.
Uh-huh.
You know how they actually do it? This is my understanding. They have across the United States, literally, and I know one of the people that does this, so I can say this from personal knowledge. They have maybe 5,000 people. Each person of these 5,000 people has a, let's just call it a list of items they have to buy. It could be a pound of butter, a dozen eggs, a gallon of milk, right?
Yeah.
Each person then goes and buys their basket wherever they are.
Now, do they get paid for that?
Yes, they do. It's a job.
I got to get on that gig.
Well, it's a job. Now, then after you get your purchase, right, and you have to do it like in a day, right, then you report out, and that becomes the basis for an inflation calculation.
Well, it's interesting because they could influence it by the way they purchase things, unless they're told purchase this specific thing.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, all those influences are there, but their goal is to try to buy it at least expensive they can. But you've got thousands of them. So you've got, you know, you always get rid of the outliers, right? So there might be outliers low, outliers high. Those get deleted and you work on the middle for stats, right? For statistics. But the point is, that's how it's done, right? And those people get paid. I have a friend of mine who had that job. And I remember one time I was talking to her about it. She lives in Chicago now. And I said, she was describing it to me. And I said, what? You do what? She says, yeah, I go out and I've got this basket. It's a pound of this and a dozen of that and a pound of this and a pound of that. And I go out and buy it and I report. That's what I do. And I get paid for that. I said, wow, that's kind of a neat thing. She says, yeah. And I can't remember now what she told me she got paid. But I thought, wow, you're getting paid a lot of money to do that, too. Anyway, that's some background on the CPI, the Consumer Price Index.
That's good stuff. See the stuff. Yeah. That's why people listen to Banter. Folks, if you're listening to Banter, remember Web Talk with Bob at
they're
Gmail.
They're checking that out right now, but they'll find out that's true. A basket of, I don't know, by the way, what's in the basket. I was reading some things on it. You probably can find out. It's probably not a big secret. But it's the obvious things. It's staples, you know.
Yeah.
Milk, egg, breads, meat, you know, and then throw in some other things like corn and stuff like that, flour. But yeah. Anyway.
What a day. So we've talked about the national security crisis. We've talked about lipstick. We've talked about the CPI. Right. We talked about, sitcom. You know, yesterday, after we were off, I looked. Remember Ozzie and Harriet? Now, not too many people will remember. Raise your hand out there right now if you're watching this or listening. Raise your hand if you remember Ozzie and Harriet, one of the good old wholesome family, Ozzie and Harriet. It was a sitcom that was one of the original famous ones. A lot of people listen to The Office. In fact, soon we will have as many followers and like it as The Office has. And maybe not Seinfeld, maybe not Lifestyles of Beverly Hills Wives or whatever it is. And not to be confused with what's her name? The family, famous family with the beautiful girls?
Kardashians. Now, going back to your sample, you were talking about something to do with what? Groups of people or something? What was it?
Culture?
No, you're just talking about it a minute ago.
Well,
Ozzie and Harriet. Ozzie and Harriet. Who were their kids?
Remember, Bob, I live on ADD Avenue. Right. So I could talk about something.
What were their kids' names, Ozzie and Harriet?
Remember that? You know, I don't remember. We're going to have to find that for the next show.
Ricky was one of them. He became a famous singer and died in an airplane accident when they were trying to smoke some sort of drug on an airplane. The jet blew up.
Oh, no, that's
sad. And he had a brother who I think lasted a while, but he became a singer, Ricky Nelson.
Was Ricky Nelson not with Ozzie and Harriet?
Yeah, Ozzie and Harriet Nelson.
Good memory.
He was the Ricky, and then he had a brother named somebody. I'm going to say Roger, but I'm not sure. The brother never became famous outside the show, to my knowledge, but Ricky did, because he sang, one of his songs was, I came to a garden party, you know.
Good. Nobody there you go again. Me. Now, did you want to go? You remember we were talking yesterday and you sang for the audience from the, what was that love story movie? What was it? Remember you sang? The Star is Born. Did you want to sing for the audience that? Because you have a good voice, folks.
Tell me something, girl.
Yeah, tell me something.
Are you happy in this modern world?
There it is. You heard it. Now you get music. More. Now you get music excerpts.
You're lurching for, I'm falling. Yeah, that's a great.
You better play that for Helen, and she'll like that. But now here's a show. Here's a sitcom that I have never watched. I remember I used to think Seinfeld when it was first on. People would come in the office on Fridays. They go, "Oh man, did you watch Seinfeld?" And I said, "No, that's stupid." Now I've seen every episode probably five times. The Simpsons. I've never watched. It's a cartoon show. It's been going on forever. I just always think it looks dorky. Have you ever watched it?
I have. It is the funniest show around once you get into the humor.
Okay.
They get away with a lot because these are animated characters, right? Simpsons. Because
They take shots political and.
Oh, yeah. But they're always analogous. They don't. You could look at them and probably see who they're talking about, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's a great show. But
The Simpsons,
point,
really.
You've got The Family Man, but you've got all these sitcoms going on, right, all the time.
Yeah.
There are followers on all of them, right? We're going to do more and more research on the Beverly Hills of...
Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Now, they're all owned by a company called Bravo. I don't know much about Bravo yet, but it's a corporation that started this thing like 10 years ago or 15 years
Bravo,
ago.
Bravo, yeah.
And they now have gone out to they've sold the franchise to other cities, right? But it's kind of interesting how they do it. And it's obviously money-making, and it's like a whole nother bubble. Like you and I are I'm in the bubble of like, oh, AI, oh my gosh, let's get some AI, you know, let's get this... You know, let's get this new technology. Let's rewrite stuff. And then you've got, that's a bubble. Then you've got, we'll call it the sitcom bubble, where in the Housewives is a bubble. And people that watch that, they get together and talk very intelligently about all the characters.
Yeah.
A very interesting phenomenon. Meanwhile, I'm over here worried about AI and the technology and Excel and Microsoft Word, and that's my bubble, right?
Yeah. And they're worried about lipstick.
You probably know HubSpot HubSpot, I think, is either public now or going to go public. And
that's good stuff. I've not done full research.
Tools, but so this morning early, I got an email from HubSpot said, hey, here's a chance to participate in a seminar on HubSpot. And usually I just cancel those out because most of them are ridiculous. They're usually selling something I don't want to buy.
Yeah.
I watched the HubSpot one.
Oh, I want to hear about this because they combine AI and CRM.
I said, it's a waste of time. You said you're going to teach me how to automate something in marketing. You didn't say anything except, hey, go use one of our tools. I said, what are you automating in marketing? That's what I'm asking. And all they did was had this headshot, this woman who just said, oh, AI is great. Oh, you need to automate it. AI, oh, you got to automate it. If you automate it, your people will be happy. Blah, 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 blah. She could have taken her 45-minute talk or hour talk and boiled it down to like 60 seconds, you know? Now, one more point. I actually sent a note to Senator Marshall.
Oh, he's been in the news. He's been in the news. He's going to be challenged. I predict. Here's another prediction. He will be challenged.
All he talked about was, we know the postal department has 650,000 employees, roughly.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a budget of about, I think it's around $100 billion, but they lose, according to what I read, $100 billion a year. They lose money every year, and then they get more money right now. So I got this email from Roger Marshall. It said, hey, we want to build more post offices. You know, so it'd be easier to send mail. And I sent him a note and I said, look, if you want to do something with the post office, then quit subsidizing direct mail companies. I have to spend maybe 90 cents for a stamp. A direct mail company probably pays a quarter of a cent. If the post office simply went to the direct mail companies and said, hey, you got to pay your fair share, they all go away. But the good thing about that is that I wouldn't get any more mail that says recipient on it or to this email, to this address. In other words, we should be able to authorize people who want to receive the mail from. If 90% of all the mail that I get right now is junk mail, I don't open most of it. I get an email from the Bank of America every 2 days about taking out a new credit card. I already have a Bank of America credit card.
Yeah.
They don't know that, I guess.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That is that I can hardly wait for Musk to get involved and say, hey, look, the direct mail companies who send out millions of these to recipients, right? They're subsidized by you and I. If they had to pay our rates, they'd have to find another way to do it.
But then, now on the flip side of that, then would, from an economic development and stimulus, is that a way that the government is trying to stimulate small business or business?
Well, yeah, I'm real stimulated when I get a letter that says recipient.
Well, yeah, I know you are. But that company, if they get one, so if they pay, let's say.
No, I know the argument. It's a half percent argument. That's not the point. You and I are subsidizing the other 99%. The ones that didn't get anything, like me. We are the taxpayer. Think about it. Because they get a much lower rate than we do, not only much lower, significantly lower, right?
Yeah.
We're subsidizing their business. Let them stand on their own 2 feet. Let them pay a real number for direct mail, a real cost, not one subsidy.
Well, it needs to be analyzed. You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I just analyzed it. But they put them out of business and they shouldn't be in business. Who wants to get that kind of mail?
So our senator will be challenged.
Dear Post Office General, please send me more unauthorized mail. Dear Postmaster General, please send me more mail to the recipient.
The Postmaster General must be listening because he just resigned today.
Well,
and Trump appointed him the first time.
His argument was, I always told people I was going to resign. Okay, I'm worried now that they're going to find that we're losing this $100 billion a year. That's what the number was. He says, we're looking at a $100 billion loss.
And retiring from the post office is a pretty good gig. I don't know how many. He's been there probably 5 years, so maybe he gets
probably going to make $300,000 a year for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Great benefit programs. Now, what I'm kind of really getting at the same way is that we have to stop subsidizing things that we know are a waste of time. I don't want any direct mail coming to my house.
Here's what's going to happen. You're going to get a notice in your mailbox. From now on, pick all your mail up at the post office. So you're going to have to drive to the post office.
I would be happy to do that. If I could, then I just wouldn't go. Because if people really want to send me a bill now, how do they send it?
Yeah.
By PDF. I don't get any bills by mail.
Yeah, no. I get very few. Because you always get $5 a month off if you get your
exactly.
bill.
Exactly. So when I think about it, what do I get by mail? Well, people like PG&E, who are still nitwits, or our local energy people, still send us a bill in the mail instead of by PDF. I did.
So your mail's going to be stopped, and Evergy's going to cut your power off. You probably go. Why don't you say something about the cable company then?
I did an analysis of the local energy company's billing costs for a case I worked on. It turned out they lost money on every bill they send out. When I say lose money, that's not exactly right. Put it another way. Some of the bills they send out are for like $3 or $4, and it costs them $10 to send the invoice, send the bill out. Anyway, they still do it, and they'll keep doing it because nobody says, hey, this is stupid. They need somebody to go to a meeting one day and say, you know, this is stupid. If they owe less than $10, don't send them a bill.
Yeah. So, okay. Okay. We covered so many things. We're winding down here. We've talked, you know, sports. I'm saying now Duke. I'm now cheering Duke. I'll tell you why. Duke has a young man, Flag. He's like 18 years old. Yeah. And he's from a small town about the size of my hometown, David City, Nebraska. So, all you listeners out there, small town America, remember that name. Watch for him. All American kid, good kid, smiles, works hard, hustles.
And how much NIL money does he get?
And NIL money, he's probably taking it in. And there's talk that he would be the number one draft choice. As a freshman, I'm saying stay in school at least a couple more years. Get that NIL money.
Well, yeah, that's point. Yeah, unless he gets – see now, but see – okay.
Go for the NBA money?
Totally off of college basketball. I only watch it now for betting purposes.
Uh-oh.
I'm not rooting for KU or Duke or any of these companies or any of these schools because it's now basically they're not going to college to play ball. They're going to college to earn NIL money while they wait to make big money in the NFL or the NBA.
Uh-huh.
So college basketball to me is over. And I literally see situations where the sports program will be spun out of the university.
Well, there is talk about private ownership of sports teams, like somebody would buy Ohio State football.
Remember, that's already happened. The Boston, whatchamacallit?
Celtics?
Celtics, 10% was sold for $350 million, right? With a company in, not the Giants, but one of the...
The Green Bay Packers, I think, have shares.
Well, they've been public for years. But what I'm really saying is I was with a friend who told me that private equity now is now being allowed by the NFL, which means you can buy 10%, which is great for the NFL and the NBA and all these people because now they have exit strategies without going public. But that's what's going to happen. Now you're going to see these companies, the private equity steps in, helps the owners exit a bit, you know, gives them $500 million, $600 million. But what do they want to do? They want to take the sports company public. They want the 49ers to be a public company. And the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's going to happen. I think that's going to happen quicker than anybody thinks. Once private equity moves in, they only have one goal. Private equity, make more money.
Yeah. Yeah, we cover, you know, a kind of a flashback and a flash forward. I'm out walking Hercules, the winsome wonder dog. And who do I see running on the trail but our former guest, Dr. Keith Jantz. Remember Dr. Keith Jantz? We had that first. We should interview him again. And because we care about your health out there, a little note. You see, you people are seeing me drinking today. It's mostly water, but it's got red beet juice in it. It's got liquid turmeric and liquid CoQ10 and amino acids powder. I mix it all up. drink it all day, and it keeps you healthy. You got to have water. Your heart needs water. Your lungs need water. Your brain needs water. Your body's mostly water. Folks drink a lot of water. But this, I'm not pushing any product. I'm just pushing, especially turmeric. Turmeric is really good. And
I think we should develop our own protein mix.
And protein. Yeah, I drink protein. Protein's good for you.
We should develop our own powder and sell it on the show.
Banter protein.
The banter protein. In other words, it has cucumbers, it has carrots, it has lettuce, it has cabbage, it has B1, it has B2, B3, B4, out to B12. We just get a bunch of stuff and put it in there, right?
And now the FDA is going to be watching our show. What are those guys? Are they making health promises? We'll have to get Dr. Keith Jantz back on the show after we get Mike Traw to talk about cybersecurity. We got so many guests coming up, folks, but it's time we got to kind of wind down, Bob, because...
All right, wind down. Take us.
Folks out there, if you're listening, be sure and share this with 10 people. Say, these guys just everyday guys, every man, that term every man, we're just like Heartland of America, a couple guys talking about the world, from the world politics to lipstick. We do it all here. And so keep listening. Enjoy Banter with Bob and Dan. You can write us at webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. And we'll see you next time. Keep tuning in.
Goodbye, everybody.